Item number 12. Take us to the world of antlers, Mick.
For the record, my name is Mick Cope. I'm Game Division Manager with the Department of Fish and Wildlife. And I do want to talk more about deer with fewer PCBs and fewer other contaminants from other waters. So that'll be the positive spin.
But some get lead poisoning.
They may. It's a possibility. So great. Well, thank you for the opportunity to come in front of the commission today and speak. Just to give a quick overview of where I'm going to take you on a short journey, I'm going to talk to you about the fact that we are here in front of you with a supplemental rule proposal from a rule that you heard in March and April. I'll give you some the rationale and logic behind why we're here today. Show you the proposed rule and the differences between what this proposed rule in the supplemental is versus what you saw in April. Kind of summarize the public input that we received and provide you with some steps forward. So as I mentioned, this is a supplemental rule proposal. You did hear the general deer season rule proposal in April. That rule was really there are several changes in there, but the main changes that we're looking at today are related to antlerless white-tailed deer opportunity up in Northeast Washington. These rules, the rule that was passed in April, plus in addition now the supplemental rule, were based in discussion with residents in sportsmen in Northeast Washington, brought to us concerns for deer population. Regarding blue tongue specifically, the blue tongue outbreak that happened this last fall in fall of 2015. We, as a department, also tracked that outbreak, but more based on phone calls and input from the public that was given to us, and all of our biologists and our veterinarians were taking calls through the fall and trying to get a handle on what it was like. It was a significant outbreak, and the discussions that we had with sportsmen in Northeast Washington, we had committed to looking at to propose seasons that were similar to what they were in 2014. In April, what you saw was a proposal that reduced modern firearm antlerless harvest for youth, senior, and hunters with disabilities. And that was one of the sources of antlerless mortality, a significant source of that. But what we had intended to propose some additional reductions in antlerless opportunity, and we made a mistake. And we had some internal communication issues where we didn't get the complete intended proposal in front of you. Considering that the additional rule changes were a pretty significant change compared to what was proposed and put in front of the public in February through April of this spring, we've had a discussion with the Wildlife Committee, and the most prudent approach to get this rule corrected, get our mistake corrected, was to have this kind of public process where we were able to put out a public notice. It opened up for a 30-day comment period. There's a presentation and a public hearing today, which provides that opportunity for us to explain and provide that input. So that brings us to what our proposed changes are. I mentioned that this is about white-tailed deer antlerless harvest. There are, the rest of the rule is still there. It's still the same rule that you adopted in April. with some of the with some changes that I'm going to point out to you today. I've broken this into the different weapon groups and also to show that what was proposed to you in April and what is proposed today here in June and what those differences are. Early archery season in GMUs 101 through 121 in April saw what September 1 to 30 with an any deer bag limit. The proposal that you have in front of you today for your consideration is an any buck permit, or not permit, but general season. These were both general season opportunities for early archery, and the any buck is the restriction on the antler list there. The late archery season is GMUs 105 through 121. Had a season in April that we had proposed as November 23rd to 15, and we had intended to propose November 23 to December 9 would be any buck, so that would be a large portion, and then a December 10 through December 15, any deer. Now, the reason that this isn't just completely back to any buck is that our discussion was that we would try and get close to what our seasons were in 2014 when we were responding. Actually, it was from 2012 through 2014 where we were trying to reduce antlerless harvest in response to really hard winters. So this is that kind of structure here. In addition, what you'll see in your notebooks is that there is a calendar date shift for that November 23rd to December 9. It changes a little bit just based on the way the weekends run. So just wanted to make sure I mentioned that. The rest of the change happens under the muzzleloader weapons choice. And in April, we had an any deer proposal for that general season. And it would be it is currently as proposed to you as an any buck season, again, with some calendar date shifts for those weekend to make sure we capture the weekend. I throw in this slide, I show the youth senior disabled. It's actually not a change in your current June package here. I just wanted to just note that it is still in that. I think there was some potential confusion on that there was additional changes, and there are not. So the rationale for this proposal today, again, it's this fixes our mistake. We had made some communications errors, and this will bring that through to fruition. This does establish a hunting season framework that's very similar to that in 2014. Tried to do one thing to make it a little bit more, or a little bit less complicated, which I know is a goal that we try and strive for, and I know that our rules are not simple. So, but from a biological perspective, I wanted to mention that this is a conservative management action that is something that we support. It should, as it did prove out in those time frame between 2012 and 2014, that this should increase the doe population of that northeast part of the state. We did receive public input during that 30-day process. We had a majority of those people that commented in support, and their main reason for supporting this is due to conservation concerns and their support of the idea that we would roll back on antlerless in situations where that is a concern. We did have a minority of folks that were opposed, and just so you know where those comments were landing, is that it was the most common theme was kind of notice of rule change, and this is a very odd thing that we're here today and talking to you about a rule change that's already out in front of the public in our pamphlet. I know, and we thought long and hard about that issue and understand the complications that come with that, and others that commented also picked up on that, but the other part was a loss of opportunity, which makes sense if we're going to be it's not that there's no season, right? It's not that there's no archery season or no muzzleloader season. It's just not for antlerless deer. So with knowing that this could be a complicated thing and we have a pamphlet that's already printed and stuff, we need to do, if you chose to adopt this today, we would work diligently to up our communications game and include both our website and our social media as outreach tools, we'd update our pamphlet that's online and also provide information through our distribution to our dealers. We would have a news release that would go out here associated with this meeting, and we'd have a news release in August again, right before the season starts. We also have various reporters that are interested in this issue, from the Spokesman Review or from Hunting and Fishing Washington Magazine. So we would work those media contacts. And then we also have the ability to get into our hunting license database and pull names of hunters who have hunted in these GMUs in the past for muzzleloader and archery. And if they've provided us an email address, we would be able to communicate with them directly. So in addition, whenever mistakes are made, you all like to know that there's process improvements to try and keep things from happening again. And we have a project plan that is associated with setting rules and getting rules in front of the commission to consider adopting. And that process has somewhere around 100 steps to it, and I just added about 3 or 4 more to get additional cross-checks with field staff and within our own staff to make sure that we're catching the things that need to be caught. So I just wanted to kind of point that out, that we are looking to improve processes along the way as well. So with that, I'd be open to any questions.
There's that shed I always want to know about.
Yeah, that's the secret shed.
Thank you, Mick. Any questions from the commission? Hearing none.
Oh. Well, I don't have a question. I just wanted to compliment Mick. That was excellent.
Thank you.
Perfect. Yep. Good job.
Seeing no other questioning.
We have a motion. We have no public comment.
There's no public comment on this.
You may.
You may. Yeah. Yeah.
I move to amend the motion that was previously adopted by the Washington Fish and Wildlife Commission on April 8, 2016, regarding WAC 232-28-357-2016 deer general seasons and definitions by changing the archery and muzzleloader antlerless white-tailed deer seasons as proposed.
I'll second that.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you, Mick.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate it. Yeah.